Yeah, all the Rachels. There were so many. You know, Stewie was up here behind the scenes spotting things that everyone else was missing. Pete was out doing the yard and coming around to clean up. It was just great. And thanks to all those that gave financially. We're doing it not for us, we're doing it for our town. And if you didn't get a chance to get in on it, that box down the back, we've even got a sign on it, now giving. We're a giving people, and we're giving to this not because we want a great place, because we want to reach our town. And we're all here for the same thing. We're all here to see Caboolture blessed, Caboolture transformed, and God to do great things. And time's still on your side. You're welcome to give. We still got a few bills to pay. We got to get there. We're going to get there. Hallelujah. Thanks for all those who journeyed with us in a step of faith. I appreciate change is not easy. You know, black walls. There is a verse I found in the Bible in Solomon. It says, you are black and beautiful, you know. I said to someone, I text Ben, I was in Mizoram in India last week or so. I text Ben, I said, I can't wait to come home. Look at those beautiful black walls, you know. Anyway, it's not about us. And some might be anxious, black walls, coloured lights, various things. I appreciate that. Thanks for staying with us, but I believe we're all seeking the same thing, to see our town transformed by the love and power of Jesus. That's what we're here for. And we're not under any illusion. We're not depending on the packaging. We're first and foremost dependent on the Spirit of God. He builds the church. And he's the one who will get the job done. And he's the one we're depending on. And behind the scenes, there might be all sorts of things happening here. But behind the scenes, in the daily grunt of week to week, people are on their knees and praying. And we're seeking God because we love our city. But we do want to create the best possible environment to reach people for Jesus. And I was blessed yesterday. I don't even know if she's here today. But there was a lady came to clean. A contractor, I won't say her name, but she came here to clean and put in some extra hours because we wanted to get the windows nice and wanted to clean the place, and we were all busy. I think Ben had been up every night, and it was just go, go, go. So she came to clean, and I got chatting to her and asked her to do a few more things, and then she started to tell me her daughter goes to youth, had come to youth. And then she walked around, came in here, and then she said to me, you know, this is really, really, really nice. And she started looking at the place. You could tell she's really taken back. And she went on for a while, and sort of crossing paths during the day, and she's opened up a little, and we chatted. And I said, look, why don't you come along? Come at night. We've got a free coffee. She said, I love coffee, you know. And, you know, we're having a chat. Then she's started to say a little bit about her own life, and she said, "You know, I don't go to church. I don't, you know." She said, "But this is good." She said, "This is not like church. This is not, you know. This is, you know." She said, "I don't feel comfortable sometimes, you know, going to church. But this is good." And I thought, if we're making a place that's comfortable for people to come, and while they're here, they find Jesus. Well, that's just great. And that's what it's all about. So God bless her. I won't say her name, but she will. I pray she'll be blessed tonight as she comes. And we just want to welcome a welcoming and attractive place, but this is still God's house. And this, in this place, they will hear the gospel. They'll experience the manifest presence of the Spirit of God. They'll be taught the ways of the Lord. They'll experience his grace and his tangible love through us. And they'll get a thirst for Jesus, because once you taste and see that the Lord is good, you will never be the same. And they'll know that there's a place in Caboolture, amongst many of them, where Jesus hangs out and they can come and receive from him. So that's our heart. I'd just like to share, I was really blessed this week. While this was all going on here, last weekend on Sunday, I was in a northeast state of India called Mizoram. I don't know if we can put up the first picture. I mean, I don't want to go on too much about
where it is and that. But I'll just show you this picture here, if you can see it. It's coming.
I was blessed that at the same time we were devoting resources to see this done, that as a church we were doing a significant and equal contribution to a work of God outside of this place. Now the money didn't come from the tithes and offerings from all of us, but it was generated over many years because of this church has deep roots. And we were a house church, and it began from that and with a call of God, and it was something God did. And we've got properties here, and people rent them, and there's finances that come from that. And those monies get sown back into our church for missions, and the heart of what's there is that it be used for the work of the Lord. And generated from significant sacrifice of many that are here today and many that aren't even here today. And from that offered, we were able to put to buy some land for a Bible school that we're attached to in Isaram. Now, if you look on your left is Andrew, and on the very right is Moy, and they're in little place tucked between Burma and Bangladesh, and they've got 70 students living in their home. They are on fire for God, these students. Some of them aren't even saved when they come. They're from Burma and different parts of lands around, and they're just getting them excited about the Lord and getting them trained over a three-year course they do. The guy in sort of the middle there is a lawyer. His name's Mienga, and he was such a big help because we had trouble over the last year or more trying to get the money there because of the way the government's changing laws. This guy sits on the High Court as a barrister in the four states up there. He's a Christian, he's a Baptist, and I tell you, he just was such a great help. And if you look at all that paper there, this was a complex thing. And here we were last Saturday, and we were signing the papers, and we were purchasing this land to build a Bible school for the glory of God. The woman there in the middle owned the land, and we were there, Stuart and myself, Shane and Ben, last year, around March, I think, or February. We were there, and we were looking for land, and we found this land, and this woman, we went and negotiated a little bit. We didn't negotiate. We actually were prepared to pay the price she asked for. And it was really, really quite a blessed time because we found this land, and the big thing with the land is it had water, and this place is really dry. It's up in the hills and there's no water. They've got to get water into the town, into the city. And but we got this land, we found this land, and then we went to talk to her. She owned the land, and it was left over from an estate. Her husband had passed away, and we were at her home where we're sitting there. On that, I was sitting right on that little couch there on the left, and we decided we'd buy it, and we agreed on the price. And then she asked us to pray, said one prayer, just thanking God we'd found this land. And she started to she actually walked out, and I thought, what's gone wrong here? She's walked out. She comes back, she's all in tears, and she says her husband had always wanted this land to be used for God, and she was so touched. She dropped 20 grand off the price. We didn't even ask. The guys were saying to me that were there, I should have prayed a bit longer, you know. but we were so blessed. And we went, and I think the next picture shows us. These are the guys that went with us. Rob Porter from Kingdom Culture Church and Joseph from Adelaide, from a church down there that's wanting to help us as well. That's at the land when we dedicated the land. Just show the next picture, Michael. There we go. They're all dancing around. There's a spade there, a hoe. We all had to dig a bit of dirt. I tell you, I got that spade. I dug that dirt. And everyone that came after that was digging dirt and throwing it around. Just show the next picture. There we are. There's all the guys. That's some of the board there. And that land is in their name. We wanted it to be in their name. We wanted it to be for them. We're going to do more with it. We're going to build on this. Just show the next picture. There's all the students. I tell you what, they were a wonderful bunch. We had meetings every night. We taught during the day. They, you know, Rob's church bought all these musical gear for them. They were playing drums. We got drowned out with drums at night. It was just a real blast. But they were getting filled with the Spirit, hungry for God. It was just so, so good. And it was so good to be there with Rob and others. And I'm so blessed. Gwen's going there in a few months with Rob's wife, Heather.
So, praise the Lord. I don't know what else is there. Is there another picture? There they are. There's Andrew and Moy.
They were so happy. And it was such a great day. We bought that 3-acre block of land, 140 grand. We were able to sow into that so they can build. And we're so blessed that we can give.
I'd just like to share from the Word of God today. Just pause the pictures. I've got a verse, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 to 7. If you want to turn, if you've got your Bible or your phone or whatever we use. But it's the Word of God we want to hear today. I'd like to read you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 7.
I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. We are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Church is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Isn't it the most exciting place to be and to belong to? The kingdom of God is advancing. Daniel, in his book, in his prophecy, says it's a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And despite all opposition, persecution, attack, the church is continually advancing and going forward. I caught a plane on much of these trips, and one thing about planes is they never go backwards. One thing about Shane when he's on that push bike is it never goes backwards, you know? There's things that never go backwards, and the church is one of them. It never goes backwards. You know, I tell you what, the church has been under attack generation after generation, nation after nation, but I tell you, after 2,000 years, it is still here. It's still advancing. It's still going forward. It's still taking ground. And I tell you, it will go forward and forward till Jesus comes back, and he will put his foot back on this earth, and he will rule and reign. And I tell you, we are part of the most exciting thing that you could ever belong to, and that's the church, and that's the mission that God has for us to see a world reached and changed. And it's just so, so good. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. The fact that the church is still here after 2,000 years, and as Kim was saying, there's billions that have been born again and received of the grace of God. It's testimony that he will always advance. But it's a God thing, isn't it? Church is a God thing. It's him that's doing the work. He makes things grow. He makes them grow deep, and he makes them grow wide. He birthed the church, and he birthed this church, and we are the work of his hands. We are the branch of his planting. He is doing it. It's a God thing. When God's around, things grow. You know, God's around, there's something happening. So blessed with all the young guys that are up here working day after day. I thought, they're going to do more than build structure. They're going to build lives. They're going to run for Jesus. I just believe it. I believe God's doing something. You know, I want to see what God's doing, and I want to get behind everything that God's doing and encourage it. It's a God thing. Jesus didn't come to make us comfortable. He came to make us fruitful. And I so long that we would be so fruitful. You know, some churches die. Nations where the gospel transformed them, the church diminished. The life of God maybe ebbed away. It's only a slight flicker. In fact, Jesus warned in the book of Revelation, he said, talked about a church that he warned them that he would remove their lampstand. He would remove their light. He said, because you've forsaken the love you had at first. We need to keep our first love. We need to keep our passion. We need to keep doing the first things. We have a responsibility, and God will hold us to account. And when I read the verse that we just read about God makes things grow, I'm always challenged about the Bible, the many verses that talk about the part that we have to play. God does the work. It's all Him, but we have a part to play. I'm challenged that we cannot be passive, and we cannot just expect it'll happen without us being involved. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take our involvement. Jesus spoke of laborers He wanted for the harvest. He seemed to me to talk about putting your shoulder in and doing some work. He put out a call. I loved a while back Ben preached a verse, and he talked about the disciples He called, and he said when they heard His voice, it says they pulled up their boats, left everything, and followed Him. You know, He had some effect on them. What makes guys do that? What makes guys that are 1 minute walking around just doing their job, living their lives, suddenly some guy comes walking past them and says, follow me, and they pull up their boats and they leave everything and they follow Him because He's got work for us to do. Paul had the same fire and he was working with purpose. In this verse it says, those that plant and those who water, they all have one purpose. And they each will have a reward. Paul talked about them being co-workers in God's service. Jesus' last words in the Bible, in the last passage, this is what it says, and this always challenges me. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. I want some of that reward. Do you want some of that reward? I mean, we're doing it for Jesus out of love. The grace of God's touched our lives. We're wanting to respond to Him. But I tell you, I want to share in what He has. There's a tension in Scripture many times that only God makes things grow, and yet we are co-workers. It repeats itself many times. Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He said, you know, there was some work we had to do. But he said, for it is God who works in you. You know, it's only God, but somehow we've got to be involved. Paul's cry, I love Paul's heart. In Philippians, he also says, I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. God took hold of us with purpose. We just didn't get saved to be comfortable and to cruise our way through. He laid hold of us with purpose in His heart. And, you know, he puts that fire in us that we want to lay hold. Like Paul did, I press on to lay hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Paul had this aggressive, determined, pushing forward attitude about his relationship with Jesus. He knew he had a part to play. He was convinced that every believer had a part to play. You know, Jesus wants to transform Caboolture. Jesus wants to make a difference. And He's purposed, He cannot do it without us. He's calling us to be involved. A few weeks ago, I shared this verse in Exodus 3, verse 7. I've been meditating on it a lot the last week or two. And it says about Moses, about his call. He said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. You know, God is concerned about the suffering in Caboolture. He says, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God's got something better, always got something better. And he says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. And this is what he says, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. You know, God's feels the pain. God hears the cry. God is not deaf. God is not untouched. He is moved by how people feel. And he's so moved, he's the God that comes down. But he comes down through us. He comes down through the church. And he's wanting us. He's wanting to send us. He's wanting us to do a work. I thought about the things that will get the job done. What will take us forward? What will keep the lampstand alive in here? What will keep the flame on fire? What will keep us alive? I thought of our values. Next week we'll have some drapes up here and our values will be up there. And the very first one of our values is, it says, we exist to make Jesus known to our world through the power of the gospel, and therefore we will not allow passivity, unbelief, religion, or any other barrier to hinder us in this pursuit. We have to remain missional. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. His purpose has to be our purpose. Jesus was about his father's business. We need to be in the same business. We need to be doing what he's doing. Jesus just didn't call us to look in. He called us to look out, and he called us to act. Like Nehemiah, we need to ask about what is the state of our city, and then ask ourselves, what are we going to do about the broken walls we see? You know, it needs to, I mean, I need to be touched. I need to, you know, we walk around the shopping malls. We walk around our town. We need to let God move on our hearts. We need to feel what he feels. We need to hear his call for us to be involved in what he wants to do. I heard someone preach this quote this week. It was really quite impacting. It says, until the future of the world matters more to the church than the future of the church has no future. Isn't that good? I'll read it again. Until the future of the world matters more to the church than the future of the church has no future. Another quote is well known. It says, the church is the only institution that primarily exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. We exist to see our city transformed. I also heard someone quote a guy named Jerry Cook, who I've never met, and he was talking about how he hears Christians pray and they say, God, give me this city. He said, it sounds good but achieves very little. He says, our prayer should be, God, I give myself to this city. You know, isn't that so true? We need to actually say, God, I give myself to this city. We need to align ourselves with the heart of God, and heaven will move for us. It will. You know, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Want to abide alone? Just be comfortable. Just look after yourself. But if you want to get on board the mission of the church and the call of God, I tell you, it's the most exciting ride and the greatest thing you could ever do. And you can do it wherever you are, in whatever job you're doing and wherever you are. Our focus needs to be outside these walls. If it's only about us, why change anything? But it's not about us. It's about our town. We've got a fresh generation to reach. Now, I'm 40 years probably almost now removed from the generation that we really need to reach. The songs I remember probably go back a little. I mean, I wasn't around for the Beatles, but I listened to them a lot. I probably got off the music world a little bit with Dire Straits. But I'm a 70s boy when it comes to music. In fact, I realised how removed I was. I was on the bus for youth the other night with Dan Beatty. And he told me about someone on the bus, one of these young guys. He had a passion that his life dream for a career was to be a DJ. I said, a DJ? As far as I knew, DJs just played songs, you know, just like a playlist. They just played songs. I was soon to find out that it was an actual art form. And there was all these things that DJs did, all these things and did stuff. I thought, and suddenly you realize I am very removed, you know. And we need help. We've got to reach these kids, you know. And, you know, the Dead Sea is dead because there's no outflow. Look at every move of God that died and is lifeless. They lost their missional vision, isn't it? We need to keep it. The other one of our values we're going to put up here, it's titled Supernatural. It says, we are dependent on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit and therefore hunger for a life that is intimate with God and contends for the miraculous. We need some Holy Spirit thrust to get this plane off the ground, don't we? Aerodynamics, I don't know. I always get a bit apprehensive on planes. I'm happy to get locked into a movie or a book and sort of somehow out of my mind, I don't even think we're in a plane. And I think I'm in, I don't know what I think I'm in, but I don't think I'm in a plane until it starts to shake in a storm. And then I realize where I am and I get different emotions. But somehow that hunk of tons and tons of metal manages to get off the ground because of some law called aerodynamics. I don't understand it, but it happens. And, you know, we don't get this job done without the Holy Spirit. And we need his help. We need to be a church that first of all prays, even fasts. I've been so realized the last few years the importance more again of prayer and of fasting. I'll just show you a picture here. Is there a picture of that little church group, Michael? It was the last of those images. It was called Empart. There we are. Just look at these happy people. We were on our way back. We had to stop in Kolkata for 10 hours. We usually do, and it's a bit of a long wait. But we found from Jossie Charco, he runs a group called Empart, a missional group, really doing great things. And we rang him, and he was happy for us to catch up with some of his workers. And we had a few hours to spare, so we thought we'd go outside the airport and just hang out. So into the... We get out there, we got about 8 hours actually to spare, and then we got to be back in time for the plane. So we didn't really have long. I think we had about 6 hours. Suddenly we're thrown into a vehicle, we're driving through monsoonal storms, the roads are flooding, and this guy, the guy on the right, his name was Jet. He was, Jit. He was just so on fire, this guy. He'd been a Hindu priest. Came to know the Lord, and his life had been changed, and he had this little house church. He took us to, we ended up driving for an hour and a half, and suddenly we're in this place, the rain's coming down, there's a lightning storm. I mean, it was a ferocious enough storm. I think Rob, he was his first time in India, and the traffic was like it can be, and the rain and all this. I think Rob had a baptism with fire. And next thing, he pulls us up in this street and he says, in this street, we're reaching out in this street. I don't know where we were and it's still raining. And he said, we reach out, my wife and a few of the women, they reach out to the women that are sold here into slavery. And it's a whole red light street. These women are entrapped. They can't escape. It, you know, really break your heart. And here they were, they're reaching out in there. Now, I thought, you don't reach out into places like here just easily. I thought, these women are probably putting their lives at risk. There'd be, you know, people, this would be where criminals are. You know, so here we were, next thing we got out of the car and we're in down some laneway and we're heading into this little group, little church in there. And he suddenly wants us to preach and share and pray and... They were just on fire. Then we left and it was another half an hour and we go to the little house church. And he is glowing. These people don't have much and they're glowing. They were glowing. And the first thing they tell us is, oh, they're telling us what they're doing and they're reaching out. They're missional. They're missional. That's what the church is. Wherever it is, it's missional. It's about going for where the needs are. They're wanting, with the little they have, to reach their city. And then they tell us, beginning of every month, for 3 days, they have fasting prayer. They fast and they pray. And I thought, everywhere, God does works through the same thing. Humble hearts, fasting and praying, seeking him. I thought, you know, let's crank it up a notch. Somewhere, somehow, let's be a evil of prayer, because we so depend on the empowering presence, and we need to pray. The Holy Spirit, we need to honour him, and we will in this house. We long, every one of us longs for his presence. We're not comfortable if he's not present. And it's not feelings. People have been around here for a long time, been walking with God a long time. There's a lot of canaries, I thought, in the room here. A lot of canaries, and they're concerned when the Holy Spirit's not here. And I'm concerned. We want his presence amongst us. We want to make room for him, because if you're spiritual, you know, when you're running on empty, it just ain't the same. So he's welcome. He's welcome in this place. Might be a few cultural things we need to change, but he's welcome in this place. We just want it sharper. We want it stronger. And we need to be people filled with the Spirit. If you've never experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit, we want you to make room for it, because when he comes, gifts are released. The power of God's released. And we need all the help we can get, because we've got to get this plane off the ground. Worship is precious to us all. Wasn't it great, the worship team today? Weren't they good? Wasn't it just so, so good? They're not a band. We want to be excellent. We want to have good sound. But they're here to serve us, to facilitate us worshipping, for us to engage with God. We honour him, and we're pleased that he's manifesting himself amongst us. I thought of the third thing. I thought that will get us, keep us going forward, keep us advancing, is every joint supplying. Ephesians 4 speaks of the ministry gifts to the church. You know, without ministry gifts, nothing's built. But therefore, the equipping of the saints, Paul says, for the work of service, it's to equip us to do the work, to the building up of the body of Christ. Whatever happens from ministry gifts, it's to build the body up to do the work that he's called us to do. Paul said, the whole body being fitted and held together by what each joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. All of us, each of us, will give us momentum as every joint supplies. You know, you're all gifted. Everyone in this place is gifted. Everyone has something to offer for the benefit of the whole. Every joint is important. There's a place for us all to serve. And there's so much. We're going to share more in the coming next month, or maybe after that. We've got a few missionaries coming as guests over the in July. But we want to share about how we can all be involved. You know, there's so much in the church we're doing. There's youth, there's children, there's pastoral care, there's small groups, there's administration, there's worship, there's hospitality, there's mercy, there's outreach, there's all sorts of help. And our ministry is not just up here on this platform. It's everywhere. It's in the marketplace. It's in everything that we can do day to day. You know, we'll never grow unless we get involved and serve. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Let's not be alone. The fourth thing, I wonder if the team would just come, we might finish up. I thought the fourth thing that'll help us to go forward to grow, I've been stirred in the last year or two, is about faith. We need to be a people of faith. We need to have courage. We so need to have courage. We need to be bold. God wants to release us from timidity, from passivity. He wants us to walk on some water. He wants us to do more than we could even think. He has plans for us. He has purposes for us. We have to be expectant. We have to step out. We have to be bold if we want to bring the miraculous. We need to believe what God says. We need to see it. We need to have eyes of faith. God needs to open our eyes. We need to hear from him. We need to see what he's seeing. We need to embrace what he's doing, and we need to do it. I'm still stirred by that quote of Barry chants, if we will step out in faith, God will step in power. We need to keep stepping out. You know, just in the little things. A few weeks ago, I was at the barber. And, you know, you can sit in some things in life and think, should I share with this guy? Am I looking for a chance to share? And, you know, you could just stay quiet. But I thought, no, I'm going to ask this guy. He asked me what I did. And you can think, oh, you know, what do you say here? And all of a sudden, we just kept speaking about the Lord. He'd been someone that knew the Lord. He'd been in church for years. And he was a little bit hanging outside of church and not involved in church. But we had a great time. I thought, it happens all the time. It happens. I'm often blessed. Gwen's got a great story. I hope she might share next week. But we need to just be... We just need to be ready. We just need to be not passive. We need to be awake. We need to let him open up our eyes, and we need to step out in faith. And, you know, stuff's happening. Stuff's happening. We're going to advance because we're missional. We're going to advance because we're dependent on the Spirit of God. We're going to advance because everyone's involved, and we're going to advance because we're people of faith. We're going to do it. And... who we are and what we believe has not changed. We might have changed the colours of the wall, but inside we still burn with the same passion that we want to reach our town. We're all here for the same thing. I believe in it more than I ever did, and that's why we're here. The season may have changed. There's a generation that we're wanting to reach afresh. Maybe we need to adapt a little. Maybe we need to adjust. Bear with us. Hang in there. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot for us to learn, a lot for me to learn. But we want to build teams. We want to develop people. We want to empower those that are running for Jesus. We've got outreach things going on. Josh has been out spying the land. He's got a few things in his heart. So watch this space. There might be things to be involved in. We've got chaplains in our church. And we've got schools in our heart. We want to keep involved with them. We've got a mother's group during the week that Carol and a few involved with. We've got a place, we've got a space. We want to make room. We want to open our hearts. We've got a youth group on Friday nights and a great team. If you want to help them, the gospel is being preached. Lives are being changed. I need bus drivers. Stewie's going away for 3 months over to Canada. We need bus drivers. We've got a team loving the South Sudanese in our town. They're blessed. We've got all their kids. A lot of these kids coming to church. It's so good. We need to pray. We need to pray about that back hall. Great big back hall. We need to think how we can use that to serve our town. We need to stay on mission. We need to be sharing the gospel. We need to be inviting people to church. We're not building this here for us. We're building it for them. We got a great children's work. Think back, not that long ago, we only had a few kids. I was really blessed. Dan was in a prayer meeting one night and he prayed. We made a place and they came. You know, we decided let's make a place and they came. Let's make room. God will send them. If you want to help, Carol needs workers. We got monthly men's barbecues. We're going to have some guests coming along over the year. We've got Valiant Man we're wanting to roll out in July. If you're a man who wants to be more valiant, let us know. Josh is running a group. Shane and myself are going to run one group starting in July. Let us know. Gwen started off some Bible studies. Yay, that's been good. She did the Book of James. We're going to run little 3-week series during the week. We need to feed on the Word of God. That'll make you grow. That'll make you strong. We have got to feed ourselves. We're going to keep that going. We've got missions. We'll always be a part of this house. And next month in July, we got some of those we support coming through. We want to make pathways. We're working on adopting a course for new believers that we're going to have in place to establish and disciple them, because we believe we're all going to reach out and we're going to see God send them. We've got training for small group leaders. We've got a Life Keys things. Our goal is to see lives restored. We've got a little cafe down the back here for night. Let's get into practice, because when we do the rest of this, it's going to be a great big cafe. Rachel could do with some volunteers, let her know. Kurt's cooking tonight. I tell you, that'll be good. You want to come along tonight? You want to come along, get a coffee, get a bite to eat. Let's be welcoming. Let's be hospitable. Let's crank up our morning teas. Let's make it a place. Everyone who's a guest here, there's always some food left for them at the end. Let's do it. Let's crank up our communication. Let's download the app. Let's keep in touch. We don't want to be isolated. We don't want to be ingrown. We belong to the church. We're not just the church. We belong to the bigger church, the body of Christ. The people that are bigger than us, we want to learn from them. We want to leverage from them. Rob's church is helping us with their worship team. And we've got those that relate to us. We've got some great friends that come and share here. They'll be coming through the year. I'm excited. I'm excited. What Jesus has purposed in his heart for Hope Point. Jesus is always building. He's always going forward. He's always got more. We're doing this because God's got more. I shared a few months ago, we used to be a house church next door, and we only built this building here because the neighbor next door complained about the music. And the council came out and said, you can't have this house church here and make all this noise. We said, what are we going to do? They said, well, put in some plans and you can build a church here. We were happy next door, I think, at the time. We had enough room, but God had more for us. You know, we've done this today because God's got more. He's got more for us. Only God makes things grow. I believe he will do it as we do our part. Our best days are ahead of us. Lift our vision. Lift our expectancy. Let's let this, what we've done here, settle for a while. We might give Ben a week off, you know. Bless Ben for all this. But we're going to do more here. We're going to transform the other wing here, so we're looking forward to what God's got. Let's, like that prayer said, let's give ourselves for this city. Let's give ourselves for them. Let's spend our lives for Jesus. I love that song. I'm going to spend my life on you. We're all going in the same direction. I'm getting closer to... I was in... It's Aram, and there had been floods and landslides the 3 days before we arrived. And I had to walk up this huge hill across this mound of dirt from where the landslide was for us to get in. I got very puffed, had to sit down for a while. I thought I'm not as fit as I once was. We're all going the same way. But whatever life I've got left, I want to spend it for Jesus. I want to live for him. I want to one day stand before him and look me in the eye. I want to hear him say, well done. I know you all feel the same. We want to live for him. We want to spend our lives where we are. We're doing things on the mission field. We're sowing into things. But in this town, we want to spend our lives. We want to make a difference. We want to see culture transformed by the love and power of Jesus. And that's our heart. So journey with us. Come along. It's going to be great. God bless you.